has beset you and taken control.
Though Satan's great stronghold stand fast in your soul, whatever your failure, though great be your fall,
God's mercy and pardon are offered to all. Rise up again,
rise up
and take back the ground. Turn from your sin and let grace abound. Press toward the prize, the victory you'll win. Forget things behind you and rise up again. Let's seek those who've fallen from grace to restore, and show them God's mercies forever endure. In spite of our past, our Lord uses us still and works it for good in the course of His will. His will. Rise up again,
rise up
and take back the ground. Turn from your sin and let grace abound. Press toward the prize, the victory you'll win. Forget things behind you. Forget things behind you and rise up again.
Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up again.
Acts 27 in your Bibles today. You turn with me there. We've been in a series through the book of Acts. Paul is on a ship as a prisoner going to Rome for trial before Caesar, whom he has appealed to. It's getting late in the year and a storm season is upon them. The captain of the ship wants to press on and find a winter harbor, try to get his cargo unloaded and all those things. And so they sail into the open seas of the Mediterranean. They encounter a great storm. Just as soon as a soft wind blew, they thought they had found their purpose, and so they launched, and then right away, as they got out into open sea, a great storm came upon them. The Bible names the storm Euroclydon, which basically translates to a northern storm, a northern wind. And we saw last they had paused by an island and undergirded the ship, passing ropes from one side to another to hold it together during the storm. And we compared that to the fact that as we face the storms and the trials and tests of life, we need to strengthen ourselves. The church needs to strengthen itself as we're in stormy, troublesome times in this world that we live in. And as families, we need to strengthen ourselves. And as individuals, we need to do so. We face difficulties and trials that take something out of us. As David went off to war and came home and his families had been taken captive, his men talked of stoning him to death, and they were burdened and concerned and empty, and he went to the Lord. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And we need to do that from time to time. We get down, we get discouraged, we get depleted, and we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. They also lightened the ship. They threw out some of the cargo. There are a lot of things that weigh us down. And a ship in a storm lightens the load so they can ride high on the waves, so the waves that hit them don't fill up the ship. And also in case they get into shallower waters, if they're blown across reefs or things of that nature. And there are a lot of things that weigh us down in life that can keep us from effectively ministering for God or for our family working together cohesively. And we may need to throw some things overboard. We may need to lighten the load. We compared the great storm they were in to the great storm of the wrath of God. Our world is going to face one day the wrath of God. Thank God you and I have been delivered by Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for us, but let us not lose concern for others around us who have not yet received Christ, for they'll face that great storm that is coming. We looked a bit at some of the storms of life that we all face. We could face a financial storm. In my 35 years of pastoring this church, in the last few years there have been more people out of work than at all the other time put together. Not since the Jimmy Carter presidency, when there were a lot of layoffs in that day and time, have there been so many people out of work. And financial crisis, we've had people lose their homes. We've had several families who had to move from this area to find jobs, and this is supposed to be a high area for job availability that people are moving here. But many of our people who are trained in particular areas had to move out of the area to find jobs. And we could all face a financial crisis. You have a health situation that could rob you of your savings, and none of us know what the stock market and 401ks and saving and all that sort of thing is going to do in the future. And so any of us could face a financial crisis. Members with children who sometimes turn away from church and the Lord and their family's advice and follow the way of the world is a storm that a family will wet their pillow at night weeping over those kids to beg God to bring them back where they need to be and to protect them as they're away from His protection. Families with deaths of young children is a crisis to go through. Parents don't expect to have to bury their children. The children expect to bury the parent. And it's a crisis. Leukemia and cancer and heart attacks and all those things bring crisis. And every family here has been touched by those things. The crisis of marriages that break up. The heartbreak of permanent damage to children who go through broken homes. I've read an old statistic. I don't know if it still holds true today the same. I believe it does. A child that grows up in a broken home is 3 times more likely to have a divorce themselves than a child who grows up where their mom and dad stay married. I spoke to a pastor's son recently who has been divorced and remarried. He was a member of this church at one time in the early days. He told me, he said, "Preacher, I messed up. I can't be a pastor. I can't be a deacon." And he said, "For the rest of my life, I'll know that I caused this to happen." And he's got to deal with that. Doesn't mean he can't find forgiveness. It doesn't mean he can't have a new beginning. It doesn't mean that God can't find a place of service for him. I remember a preacher years gone by had a very large church who told a story about it. He didn't drive a car in the city he lived in. Was very busy. He had a man pick him up every morning in a van. He had a desk in the van. He'd work on the way to the church or on the way to the airport. And the man would drop him off and pick him up when he came back into town and all that sort of thing. And this man who picked him up and drove the van had been a pastor. He had fell into sin, destroyed his family and his home, and went deeper into alcohol and all that sort of thing, trying to hide his pain. And finally, one day, he crawled out of the hole he was in. And God cleansed him and forgave him. He felt like the only place of service that he had was driving that van for this pastor, carrying water for him while he served the Lord. We need to be aware of our decisions and how they have repercussions. None of us know what a day is going to bring forth. And it's important that we recognize the storms of life that hit us all, that we're as prepared as we can be, and that we're close to God so that our prayers can be heard, and that we can intercede on behalf of others. We all must watch and pray. We must be wise men who build on the rock and not on the sand. The sailors cast out the precious cargo from the ship. In Acts 27 and verse number 20, the Bible says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Can you imagine that attitude? There's no hope. We're lost. Days and days and days of darkness and a storm. The storm has caught up the ship, and they can't steer out of it. They're being driven with the storm, staying with it as it goes from place to place to place. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Now, I don't believe Paul was angry with them and wanting to rub it in, you know, you should have listened to me, that kind of attitude. I think the reason he makes this point is because he's going to give them further instructions from a man of God who's in touch with the Lord, and for them to listen to him now, he reminds them they should have listened to him when he warned them previously. I've shared with you how that the world doesn't want to listen to the voice of Christians today. Doesn't want to listen to the voice of the men of God. Doesn't want to listen to the voice of the Bible. Verse 22, now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it should be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island, and when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They didn't listen the first time, but they're listening now. When the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day. You've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And there were in all the ship 276 souls. 276 souls on board. Quite a sizable ship for that day and time to house that large a crew and passengers. This is an important thing to understand. The sailors had cast out all the precious cargo. The sailors had come to a place where they had lost all hope they would be saved. But Paul continued to pray. And God, in his desire to preserve Paul, would allow the lives of all these on the ship to be saved, but the ship itself would be lost. In 27, in verse number 20, they saw neither sun nor stars for many days and lost all hope they would be saved. My friends, let me say to you, with God, there's always hope. But without God, there is no hope of salvation. This world's in a dark place like they were in a dark storm. John chapter 1 says, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Look at John 3 with me. Just back up from Acts to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Darkness and sin are comparative in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that it's our gospel is hid to them that are lost. The lost are the people who have not believed on Christ, and Satan has blinded their minds and they're in darkness. 1 John says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Listen to me. Are you lying? Or are you telling the truth? Are you in fellowship with God? A lot of people think they are, but they're lying because they know they walk in darkness all week long. Church is just something they do on Sunday. Religion is just something that's a little part of their life. They don't really have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are all sinners who need that constant cleansing from the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no hope of salvation except through Christ. Ephesians 2 reminds us that time past we were like those who are outside the covenants and promises of Israel. We had no hope. But now in Christ we are made nigh to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. In our world, many think they have plenty of time. These sailors didn't believe that. They thought they were lost. They'd given up hope. They'd never seen a storm like this carry them for this long a period of time. And they weren't like many in the world today who thought they had plenty of time. Everything's pretty good. I got a little money in the bank, and I got a job, and I got some future, and I got a home to live in. What do I need? I'll tell you what you need. You need to be saved from your sins and have a home in heaven, because you're going to face that one day, and it could be very soon. Many think they have it all under control. All it would take is a storm like this to drive you where you have no control, to make you recognize, but for the grace of God, we could be in the same condition as any man upon the earth today. Like that storm in the great sea, this tiny ship is being tossed to and fro. Great darkness, they've lost hope of rescue. You imagine a ship like that sinking at night, no sight of land, it's dark. Imagine all the bailing and fret they've gone through. Can you imagine the seasickness and all the kind of things that would go along with that? Unsaved men are in that condition today. And like the sailors of Jonah's day, many of them are sincere and laboring to try to save themselves. The people tried to save Jonah. They did everything sailors could do. Jonah said, the only way you're going to be saved is to throw me overboard. Why? Because Jonah was a type of Christ. The great fish would eat him, and 3 days later he would spit him out on dry ground. And in the New Testament, Matthew 12, 39 and 40, Jesus said this was a sign to the nation of Israel, the sign of the prophet Jonas, that he would die on the cross and be buried, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead. You can struggle all you want to try to save others or save yourself, but without Christ there's no hope. Without His death and His shed blood and His substitution for us, there is no hope. Without that. In Acts 27 and verse 21 through 29, Paul announces God has revealed that all will be saved, their lives, because God wants to preserve Paul. I know some of our young people may never have seen some of the Cecil B. DeMille's movies like The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston or Ben-Hur, starred him also. In Ben-Hur, he was a galley slave rowing the boat. And he got up on the ship with the Roman leader, and he saved him. He was going to kill himself and drown because he thought the war was lost. And Charlton Heston saved him, and they're on this big board, and they're floating along, and the Roman ruler looks at him and says, "Your God was so anxious for you to be saved that he has saved me as well." You understand something, friends? God has you and I in His plan of redemption for man. It is through some of you that others will be saved as well. 276 souls on board this ship, and all of their lives would be saved because a crusty old Jew by the name of Paul, whom God would preserve to stand before Caesar and testify, so all of them on the ship would be saved. 14 days they fasted and prayed. 14 days they've done everything human they could do. 14 days they've gone without in great fear of their lives. I can't imagine it. I've been at sea in a storm on a gigantic ship. It's bad enough on one of them. One with 2,500 people on board. And the wind and the waves and the tossing to and fro. And I'm thinking about these two families today out there at sea. I hope they have nice weather like we're having here and not so severe that they don't enjoy their trip. The wind and the rain and the storm and the sea. And the man of God has some words for them. Be of good cheer. You know, that's found throughout the Bible. That's the message when Jesus was born that the angels gave to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. I have a message of glad tidings for you. We have a message for the world around us. A message of glad tidings. A message of good news. A message of be of good cheer. Yes, there's storms in life. And yes, there's great dangers in life. But we have the message of hope in God on how to be delivered from death. The storm was great. And that's why I have such distaste for false religion. For those kind of weak religious preachers that will tell people they're okay like they are. That they're good people, that God will certainly have mercy on them. My friends, God will have mercy on whom He will, and whom He will not, He will judge. And let me say to you that the only reason that any of us are saved is by the grace of God, through the mercy of God, and through Jesus Christ. And those that do not teach salvation by grace through faith, who teach men they can do good works and it'll outweigh their bad, are condemning men to hell if they follow their beliefs. And I have great distaste for those that teach false teaching. If you trust church membership or your works, you'll die in your sin without hope, and it'll be too late. Adam and Eve sinned, and they passed on to all their descendants the nature of sin. It is called the sin nature. It is an incurable terminal disease, and the result of it is death. We see the result of it all the time. The only cure for that is the substitutionary death of Christ for us and our faith in Him. Thirdly, Paul was the salt of the earth and the light of the world that preserved these men's lives. 276 souls. And you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. And because of you, others will be preserved. I say to you to save yourself and your household. In Acts 16:31, the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And that very night he took them to his household to mend their wounds, and his whole household was saved and baptized as a result of faith in Christ. Save yourself and your household. Save those who work with you. Save those who live in your neighborhood. Save all those that you possibly can influence and pray over and witness to and be in the same ship with you. 276 souls. Lives saved because of a Christian and the God he serves. How many are going to be saved because of us when we stand before the Lord to give an account of our lives? Most important, that we're faithful in the business of telling others the story. Storms are out there, friends. They're gathering all the time. The clouds are there. The weather's changing. We're in a different world today than we were 25 years ago. There's a different attitude. There's a different sentiment. And people are not prepared. People got a little religion today when they used to have the old-time religion where they walked with God and talked with God. I saw a little special on TV one day about the Amish. And it told a little of their history and their sincerity of their walk with God. And, you know, they don't gain any spirituality by not turning the lights on or by dressing the way they dress. I think we all ought to dress morally, and they certainly do that. But you know, a man growing out his beard and wearing those hats and those clothes with no zippers, I don't think there's anything unspiritual about using zippers. If you want to use buttons, that's fine. In Marines, we always felt sorry for the Navy. We had zippers, and the Navy had all them buttons they had to undo just to go to the bathroom with those dungarees. And that'd be tough. I don't think people are more spiritual because they use buttons, but I think they believe the Bible, and they believe in Christ, and they believe in salvation. And do you know something? That's just as outdated in the world we live in today as their hats and their beards and their buttons and their shoes and their work ethic. People don't believe it. They don't look for it. They don't appreciate it any longer. They're like this captain of the ship and the 276 on board. They didn't listen to the Apostle Paul when he warned them about the storms, when he warned them about the season, when he warned them about sailing. Thanks be to God they listened to him when he said, if they leave the ship, they cannot be saved. And they cut the ropes off of the lifeboats and stayed in the ship. We're sometimes like ships at sea, pushed about by the winds. I want to say to you, there's one who controls the winds. He stood aboard a small boat with his disciples in a great storm. And he spoke, and the winds and the seas obeyed him. And he's still in the business of calming troubled waters today. He can bring salvation into your life and calm your soul and take you away from the mercy of the winds and the storm and put you under the grace of God and the protection of God and the salvation of God if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here in church today. Help us to see the grave dangers that are out there in the world we live in. The world's a dark place. The world has many dangers. There are many traps and pitfalls. Sometimes, Lord, we get satisfied because we have escaped and have faith in Christ, but have our children come to that place? Have our grandchildren? Have our neighbors, our co-workers, and our friends? Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to seek the salvation of the lost. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.